Welcome, everybody, to our roundtable discussion this week. I am here with Lisa Grant, Pastor Adrian, and Pastor Brett. It's a wild crew this week. Hopefully it doesn't get too crazy. But we are talking about Pastor Adrian's sermon from this last week, week two of our The Greatest series. And this week we're talking about patience. We all know Pastor Adrian is the most patient person on staff, so that's why he got this topic. But I love this topic. I like how you talked about it being because of the series, it's an act of love. And you said being patient with others is loving them with their time. I thought that was really good. But as we get started, anybody kind of share what's something that stood out to you from this Sunday?
Can I share something that stands out to me right now?
Yes, sure.
You might notice that Lisa has a stool. And yes, I would like to point out it's because Lisa's legs don't touch the ground.
They don't. That's true.
Depending on the chair.
Yes.
You gotta give that.
Right.
That's right. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Now it's your turn to say something nice about Brett. Yeah. By the way, next Sunday is about kindness, so we'll have to have another conversation next week.
Well, but he's giving Lisa the opportunity to show patience.
That's true.
Right now.
True. Mm. It's a test.
Bearing with other people.
I am loving you with my time. The one thing that stood out to me was your illustration of the traffic light. That is something that kind of hit home for me and for my kids. I think it's great when you can have something like that in your sermon that everyone can kind of easily identify with. So that was awesome.
Yeah, I don't know who installed those, but I think they're mean because they just annoy me to no end. Mm-hmm. Wait.
I also thought the illustration from James 5 about the farmer who has to wait for the crops, and how it just kind of got me thinking about how as a farmer that has no control over, you know, the time that the harvest comes and all that kind of stuff. We also don't have a whole lot of control over many things in our lives, and likewise, I think a farmer is used to waiting and expects to wait and expects to, you know, have that process happen, and with us, if we set ourselves up a little bit better to wait, then I think when we do have to wait, it's a bit more of a peaceful process than, like a farmer, than what it normally is for me.
Well, it is a great illustration, because the farmer, they wait a long time while it seems like nothing is happening, right? But while they're watering and preparing the ground, lots is happening under the ground. They just don't see it until it shoots out of the ground. So if they stop too early, they miss out on the fruitfulness of their patience.
Pastor Dave comes from a long line of farmers.
I do.
So he knows his stuff.
Mennonite family, old roots. Anyways, tell me about a time when you had to be patient. Lisa?
Well, I am, like Adrian, I'm not a patient person. I think of, you know, the time that we spent on Vancouver Island. We went there as a family for Nathan's job, and we thought that's where God was placing our family for the long term. But it turned out that wasn't the case, that we were there for a few years, and then we were called to come to Penticton. But in that time, we thought we were going to expand our family. We thought we were going to buy a house. All those big things that we had been waiting for a long time, we thought they were going to happen when we were there. And they didn't. I had two miscarriages back to back while we lived there. So we thought the door had closed on our expanding family. And that was really hard. And then Nathan's job was great, but he realized that he just didn't see a future there, you know, like he had thought it was going to be. So saying goodbye and closing those doors was hard. And then God showed us he had something better in store for us here. That was probably the most recent example of waiting for us, yeah.
Awesome. Anyone else?
I shared already.
You did.
I talked enough.
I feel like I have little tests every day as I drive from Summerland to Penticton. There's always like a handful of people in the fast lane that are matching the speeds of people in the slow lane, both of them going under the speed limit. You're like, come on! No, but similar to Lisa, I think, you know, our whole process of moving out here from Alberta was kind of a test in patience. Even before that, we were in Australia, left Australia, came here, left here to go back to Alberta, and then eventually came back. But that whole process, it just seemed like it was all meaningless. There was a lot of we were just maybe just weren't where we were supposed to be, and we were just kind of wondering what the whole what the point of us doing all of this was, especially when we felt like we had like prayerfully considered a lot of this, and we felt like God was leading us there. And as we came back to Summerline, we realized that the steps that had led up to that had really provided for us in a way that we would have that made it really easy for us to come out and for me to take the job at Bethel and to be part of the church out here. So yeah, you know, like in the moment, it's hard to wait and it's hard to be patient when you don't see the end result you know, right in front of your face. But then looking back, and I think we can all do that, we can look back and see that God had a plan through different areas of our lives when we had no idea it was happening. And but then obviously recalling those things makes it easier for us to trust going ahead. So
let's be patient with Brett once again for not turning his phone off.
So sorry. Does it help that it's my wife?
Do you need to answer it?
No.
I think, you know, obviously we're in a season right now of waiting and testing of everyone's patience. I think a lot of people in our church are wondering, like, when are we going to be able to go back to church? And I know as a leader, that's a really difficult place for me. Like, I really don't like the aspect of leadership where you're waiting and you don't know when the next step is. Like, for me, it's like if we had a date when everything would go back to normal, that'd be fine. Doesn't matter when it is, if we knew and then we could take steps toward it. But kind of in limbo, not knowing and being completely out of control, that is a real struggle for me. And so I'm trying to lean into the lessons of patience, and closely related to patience is faith, because God's in control. But thinking about this, it's actually been something I've been kind of leaning into a lot lately, not just because of our circumstance, but thinking back to our recent preaching series, Unhurrying Your Life. And we talked a lot about patience and unhurrying and slowing. And so just thinking back on that, how it relates to last Sunday's sermon, are there some things and applications from Unhurrying Your Life that you've applied and been working on that would relate to this topic? Adrian?
I've been practicing the negative side of unhurrying your life, doing way too many things and being way too busy with renovations and all of the extras of life right now. And so I've been going back and going, I still need a lot of work on that.
Right.
So my head hasn't gotten so big that I've completed the unhurrying your life.
Right.
Yeah, I think for me, one aspect that I've really started to try to get better with is the weekly phone usage thing, where we, you know, on Sundays where we get that update of if you've gone up or down in your phone usage, and you know, obviously there's a ton of different factors why you might be on your phone more one week than another, but for me it's just kind of, you know, trying to open up more time in general that I'm not just kind of wasting away with my phone. And it's obviously really easy, and some weeks I'm better and some weeks I'm not. But, you know, just getting it out of the room sometimes for family time and you know, not sleeping with things like that. So I've tried to implement more of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that series. I thought it was so great and so practical. And I think there's some things come easier than others, like, you know, silence, solitude. That's a little easier for me maybe than some of the others. Definitely Sabbath and slowing down were challenging. Those challenged me. And I tend to always think of lots of things at the same time. So taking a Sabbath, a full 24-hour period where I do not think about work, is hard. I want to just do a little bit more, or just send that email, or just, you know, think through this lesson or whatever. So taking the time to really have a Sabbath where I spend time with God and just God and be present with my family is something I'm trying to get better at.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it's been good.
One of the things that I've been practicing very regularly since that series is just the application on the slowing sermon of driving the speed limit. And like, it's incredible. At least for me, it's really helped me to not be so anxious, to make sure I take the appropriate measures to have time to get where I need to go. I'm so much less tempted to be mad or say horrible things about other drivers on the road. And it's probably safer too. So again, it's not one of those legalistic things, but for me, it's just been a way to reduce my anxiety and to slow down a little bit. And I found that very beneficial. And I'm assuming that that's bleeding into other aspects of my life. But obviously the biggest test of patience for me outside of coronavirus is children, because they constantly jump on that patience nerve all the time. And that's been my prayer to find greater patience for them, mm-hmm. as God is patient for me. And that's actually one of the questions I had when I was listening to your sermon. What if God wasn't patient with me? What would my life look like?
We'd all be hooped, yeah. I think is the theological term.
Yes.
Hooped. Yeah.
The Greek word.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. Yeah, I see a lot of places in my life where God was patient as I developed or, you know, had to walk through difficulty or mature before he could take me to the next step he wanted for me.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine, though, like, if God gave us the things we wanted in the time we wanted them? Like, his timing with things? Like, imagine if, I don't know, he left you guys in Summerland or whatever when you were mm-hmm. here. And then, like, brought you to Bethel. But the timing wasn't right. So it's, like, what you want, but not at the right time.
Right.
Or, like, our character was all of a sudden transformed without the development time. I just feel like we'd be so much more shallow.
Yeah.
It's like mm-hmm. a kid that wants a monster truck when they're 6 years old. Right. And they can't reach the pedals. It's like, well, that's great, but...
Oh, nice analogy. Did you just come up with that just now?
I'd like to say yes, but I don't know. Someone will Google it. I'm sure you've had that stored up.
That was pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Very true.
Talk to me about while you're waiting for something, what should you be doing? Like you said, patience is active. It's not passive. So while you're waiting to mature, while you're waiting to get tall enough for the monster truck, you know, while you're waiting for the next opportunity or whatever it is, what should you be doing?
Hmm. I liked how you said, you know, it's patience is active. And we're actively trusting. It's a time for us to actively trust in God, and which is true. You know, there's many things that people, like myself and people in our congregation, are waiting for, and you know, it's on their mind a lot. And so it's like you said, we're not just kind of twiddling our thumbs. Yeah, there's areas in our lives maybe that need improvement, all these different things before whatever we're waiting for comes. But it's just that even that time frame is an opportunity to build on the trust that we have, you know, for God, and just to, again, exercise it every, you know, day in and day out. I thought that was really good.
It makes me think of the passage in James as well with the analogy of the farmer, because a farmer isn't passive when he's waiting for his crops. And yeah, he doesn't know what the weather is going to be like, and they can't control all conditions, but they're still weeding, they're still pruning, they're still caring for their soil. There's still lots of active things that farmers do while they're waiting. Right. And I even think of this time when we're called to wait and life feels like it's on hold. But it is a time when we can dig in with God and we can pray and we can get into step with what the Spirit is speaking into our lives and saying to us. We can do that through prayer. I think we can do it through planning too, like thinking about what are our triggers when we feel anxious or impatient, and navigating that and mitigating that and talking through it with our spouse, or, you know, even talking through it with our kids. Like, you know, what does it look like when we're impatient? How can we change that behavior? I think there's lots of active ways that we can be still and wait on God to act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, during that season of, like, waiting to Aletheia, it just drove me to prayer. Like, it just drove me to even sometimes very frustrating, like, not that I'm David, but, like, pouring out the Psalms and being, like, complaining towards God, being like, why am I having to wait for this? And just, is it ever going to happen? And, like, you had mentioned earlier, Dave, about wanting to know the exact time. I even asked God that multiple times. And one time I was like, I felt like he'd said one. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's 1 month. And I'm like, oh, I don't want it to be 1 year. And just like, would it actually be helpful if I knew the exact date? Well, maybe not. Maybe I wouldn't learn the lessons along the way. So I think sometimes God doesn't answer prayers we want to because it's not in our best interest. But yeah, I think it's just that daily, you need God's help to get through that day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in Bible college and, you know, college is kind of like active waiting. It's preparation to fulfill your calling in ministry. And I remember the Lord just gave me the story of Joseph. You know, wherever Joseph was, he served God with all of his gifts, all of his skills, in whatever capacity he could. He decided if he was going to be a slave forever, he was going to be the best slave. If he was going to be in prison forever, he was going to be the best prisoner. And the scripture constantly says God was with him. And it doesn't necessarily say Joseph knew God was with him. The reader knows that. Joseph just knew he was a slave and he was in jail. But he had a dream. He had a vision from God about his future. And so he didn't just wait and whine and sulk, but he just leaned into the moment. He leaned into his situation and served God and the people around him the best way he could. And through all of that, he grew and developed to accomplish something he never... Like, he didn't know exactly what his dream would be, but he developed into an administrator who could administrate this massive food distribution program to save not only, you know, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people, but his own family in the future. And to me, that, I think, is so much of what patience is. It's actively doing what you know God has called you to do, using your gifts, using your abilities in the moment, while God works things out around you to prepare you for the next moment he has in place for you. I've always kind of kept that in mind. It's a good word for this season, I think.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts?
Y'all looking at me, I talked lots already.
I won't peek at my Christmas presents anymore. I thought it was great. It was a good message.
Yeah, I think that, you know, also you touching on the fact that, again, you know, what we try to do is we try to, when it comes to any sort of fruits of the Spirit, or, you know, different changes that we want to see in our lives, we tend to just try harder in those areas. And so I think it was helpful, again, to remind us that getting closer to God and submitting more of our life to him is really the key to seeing transformation in our lives, not just trying harder. And because, you know, obviously I think we've all had, you know, different things in our lives where we've tried really hard to fix something or to reform behavior or something like that. And you know, we've been in that cycle of, continually seeing that not work out and the frustration and all that kind of stuff. So even with patience, this idea that, you know, we can just try to be really hard to be more patient and it'll just somehow start happening. Obviously, I think we partner with the Holy Spirit in a lot of ways to see that work being done. But obviously, you know, we still need him to be the one who does that transformation in our lives. And so I thought that was really helpful, especially in the area of patience, because I feel like it's one of those, like, really, like, at least for me, when you get really impatient and maybe anxious or angry or whatever it is, it's usually kind of like a split-second type thing. It's not like a, I'm going to sit here and really mull this over for a while, and then I'm going to decide that I'm going to be angry because I'm becoming impatient. It's usually like a momentary type thing. And so the act of just trying harder to be patient doesn't really seem to, it's not really helpful, you know? So I thought you mentioning that was good for us to remember as well.
Well, I may not have said this as clear as I meant to, but like usually the times when you lose your patience, it's at the long end of a lot of other mistakes or opportunities you had to bring it to God. Mm-hmm. So usually if I get upset at my daughter, it's because of other frustrations that have been building up that have taken up my patience. Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely what I meant by bring it to God, like bring your complaints, bring your frustrations to him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you have that capacity for those who are actually closest to you. And and yeah, we can't change, like we can change our behavior, but like behavior doesn't necessarily change our character. It's not about behavior modification.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
That's good.
That's good.
Awesome. Well, great conversation. Adrian's socks are giving me McDonald's cravings, and so another aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, which sure. I need to practice as well as patience. But thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for watching or listening, and we'll see you next week.
So long.
Farewell. Goodbye.
Sayonara.
Hey, we hope you guys enjoyed today's roundtable discussion. We'd love to stay connected to you throughout the week, so check us out on social at Bethel Church Penticton, or on our website, betheltab.ca. Take care.